Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
As we all know that in a few weeks, there's going to be families and people are going to gather all together and enjoy the company of friends and family. And what's going to happen as they gather is that they are going to be reminiscing. They're going to reflect on those events of the past. And they'll sit around their tables and say, oh, do you remember the summer that we went to? Oh, or do you remember when we got our first? They're going to remember, and then they'll move on and probably remember those life-changing events. And as moms and dads, oh, do you remember when she took her first steps? Do you remember when he went out on his first date? Do you remember when, oh, she finally slept through the night? And if that's you this morning, that day is coming. You know, they might be 18, but eventually they'll sleep through the night. And then you won't be able to get them up the next day. But as friends and family reminisce and remember the things from the past, these memories will often evoke a variety of emotions. Sometimes they'll come with laughter. Sometimes they'll come with a tear. Sometimes they'll just come with a really strong emotion. So reminiscing for some can be a lot of fun. Reminiscing for others can be quite painful. For all of us, it depends on the memory. There are certain friends that I love to get together with, and I love to reflect on the past and the crazy things that we did. There are some friends that it's just, when I go to see them, it's like, I'm so afraid for the things of the past that they're going to bring up. Do you have those friends as well? It's like, can we not go down that memory lane today? I want to leave that in the past. There are certain things that just need to stay in the past. And like all of you, there are some things, like I just said, that are left or that are best left in the past. Can we just let the past be the past? Many people struggle, even today, as they get together with family members over the holidays, because they're just thinking, oh, I know that soon as I walk in the door, Mom is going to say this. Or when I walk in the door, the first thing my brother's going to do is he's going to do this. Does anybody have those types of family members as well? And it's like, I'm just so nervous to get together with my family. But depending on what your home was like, the simplest item can cause you to relive a childhood memory from your past. And as you know, I love Christmas. And if you've been in my home, you know that I love Christmas. And I've often wondered, when did this all start? And I can't actually even bring it back to a specific date and time. I know that when we were growing up, I was always the first person that was awake. And sometimes confession is good for the soul, and my mother often tunes in and listens to the sermons. So I was that kid that would get up in the morning, I'd go upstairs, I'd go into my little sister's room, and I would nudge her, and I'd say, Chantel, Santa's been here. And then if no response, I'd hear her again, Chantel, Santa's been here. What? What? And then she'd come out of her sleep. And as soon as I knew that she was awake, she'd say, what? Santa's been here? And I'd book it. And I'd go back downstairs to my room, and I'd get back in bed, and I'd wait to hear the pitter-patter of feet upstairs, because my sister would then walk into my parents' room, all excited. She was also special needs. And she'd say, Mom, Dad, Santa's been here. And then I knew that it was safe for me to come upstairs. Because let's face it, the 16-year-old walking into his parents' room and saying, Mom, Dad, it's Christmas morning. Yeah, go back to bed. That's what I would get. But my sister, she could get away with a lot more than I ever could. So then we get up, and my father always had this thing that we had to get showered and we had to get dressed and ready for the day before we could read the Christmas story, before we could open our presents, anything like that. So as kids, we did not like this portion. And as you can see from the picture above, yeah, that is me with hair, but you can see I'm the unimpressed person in the picture. Can you see me there? Can anybody tell which one is me? I'm in the red striped shirt, just in case. I know the hair just kind of throws you off. Yeah. But why can't we just open our presents in pajamas and loungewear like everybody else? And the funny thing is, and my children can attest to this, I've carried on that tradition. They know as well that when they wake up, you have to get your shower. You have to get dressed before we can start to open up, before we open presents. First and foremost, the coffee has to be on because I've raised my children well. We all have an addiction to coffee. So the coffee cup has to be filled. Then we go and we gather and we read the Christmas story, and then we can open up presents. So I've just carried on that tradition. So as you get ready to head into the Christmas season, what memories get stirred up in your heart? The memories that you have, are they a family time together? Are they the picture of the classic closing scene of a Hallmark movie? Or would your upbringing be better described as, say, an episode of The Grinch, A Christmas Carol, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, or even The Elf? Or perhaps for you, you're still trying to find that Christmas movie. I mean, you know the classic Hallmark movies. Soon as they do the cue of the snow scene, what's going to happen? The couple is going to come together and kiss. It happens in every single movie. But I don't know how your story goes, but God does. I don't know what your memories are like. Were they happy? Were they sad? But what I do know is that we have been encouraged through Scripture to not focus on the past. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 16, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." He's telling us, forget about the things long ago. We each have the choice to decide how it is that we are going to move forward. You know, we can look in Scripture and we can look at different individuals that can attest to this. You know, we have Moses. Moses, who was the prince in Pharaoh's palace, he chose to leave that palace and go and lead the Egyptians out of bondage. We have Abraham. He gave up his life and his time with his family to go to become, in order that he become the father of nations. There are many things that we often are encouraged that we have to let go. There is nothing more that the enemy would like than to keep you held in the bondage of your past. But God is calling you forward. And through this series, the one thing that we've been learning is that transitions move us forward. So, Father, as we continue in your word this morning, I pray that you would illuminate in our hearts those things that perhaps we've been holding on to of the past. The past is the past. But you are calling us to today, to live in this glorious day that you have given to us today, not to focus on the past. So I pray that our hearts would be open to what it is that you want to say and how Holy Spirit is going to speak into our hearts, and that we would be sensitive to your voice. We ask this in your name. Amen. God is wanting to do something great in and through you. When Paul shared this with us, he wasn't saying this like he was an expert on the topic. Nor am I sharing this with you as somebody who's an expert on the topic. There are things from all of our past that the enemy will try and use in order that he cripple us and keep us there. Paul, as we read in Corinthians, had this thorn in the flesh that we're able to read about. I've got my thorn in the flesh. It ensures that I remain focused on God. But in that, when I'm weak, then I am strong in Him. You have a thorn in your flesh. Something that I've actually had to speak out when I've been meeting with people over this last few weeks is that, and I want to share it with you, too often we give the enemy way too much credit. What happens is something bad or something comes and we're challenged by something. It's like, oh, the devil is out to get me. Oh, I'm under such an attack right now. Why not look at that actually as a compliment? Because the thing is that if you're not doing what God is asking you to do, then the enemy has no reason to bother you. But the moment that you start to see that the enemy is after you and trying to get on your heels, that's when you know I need to keep going, because obviously I'm doing what God is calling me to do. Because when the enemy is leaving you alone, you're not about God's business. And we are to be about God's business. So the next time that you feel like you're under some sort of an attack, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, because obviously I'm doing what you're asking me to do. Because if I wasn't, the devil would leave me alone. Can I get an amen on that? Do you believe that? Is that something that you can incorporate into your life? Under those attacks, say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm doing what you're calling me to do. If we're not doing the things of God, then the enemy doesn't have a reason to attack us. There is no doubt that every single one of us in this place has a thorn in our flesh that ensures that we keep our eyes fixated on Christ. During those times of weakness, that's when we know that we have the strength of God at work in our lives. Paul says, forgetting what is behind, we press on. I have to purpose in my heart to keep my eye on the goal that Christ is calling me towards. So let's keep focused on that goal. You know, I like how Eugene Peterson worded it in the message. He says, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. This morning we're going to look into Isaiah chapter 43. We're not going to read the entire passage, but what I want to do is I just want to give you an update on what has been happening in Isaiah 43 leading up to the passage we're going to focus on. So as we read this, what we can see is that Isaiah is speaking to the people, and a reminder is being set forth. The people are being reminded of all that God has done in their lives. They're reminded that God is the one who has created them. God is the one who got everything started right from the beginning. So you don't have anything to fear, he's telling them. God is the one that's redeemed you. God is the one that's called you. God is the one that has been with you when you've gone through all of the trials that you've faced. And when you've had to walk through those fires, God has protected you. Were there things that got burnt away or stripped away? Yes, there were. But those are things that needed to go as a part of the refining process. All of these things are being pointed out to them as things that God has done. So this week I would encourage you, take a moment and read again through chapter 43. But this morning I want us to focus on verses 18 and 19. And think about the challenge that Isaiah was putting forth to them. What is it that Isaiah is saying to the people? And it says this, starting to read in verse 18. He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So today is the final piece in this series that we've been doing called Seasons. And I've titled the message, From Reminiscing to Resolutions. And as I shared just a few moments ago, as we approach the holiday season, families all around are going to gather together and they're going to talk about the things of the past. They're going to reminisce about their childhood. They're going to talk about their home life. They're going to talk about the foods. Oh, do you remember when mom used to make this? Some will gather with their friends and they will share stories of things that have happened years ago. They're going to talk about their Christmas memories and what things were like in their home as they were growing up. And then there's going to be those people where Christmas is not always a happy time. Sometimes it sparks an emotion or a memory from years gone by that a person continues to hold on to. But there are specifics that we're able to pull out from this passage, and those are the things that I want us to highlight this morning. So the first is this. Reminiscing can be good for the soul. When I look at this passage in its entirety, there is a time of reminiscing. Isaiah is taking them on a journey. He's helping them to see all of the things that God has done. They're reflecting on the accomplishments that God has done in their lives. They're being reminded of God's redemption work. He says, I have called you by my name. They're reflecting on the call of God on their lives. He says, when you walk through the waters, I was there with you. Look at the refining work that I've done in your life. As followers of Christ, we have been set apart. There are items that we will hang on to. There are those things that we will continue to carry with us. But God wants to burn those things off of you. He wants to put you through that refining process. The gold and the diamonds that you wear, they didn't look like what you currently have on. This ring did not come out of the ground looking like this. Can you imagine what it would look like if the moment that the gold or the diamond was extracted from the ground, if the man got down on his knee and says, will you marry me? What kind of a response would he get with this big blob, right? Well, there's a diamond in there somewhere. Well, come back and see me when it's been refined, when I can see the glitter of the diamond. Then we'll have a talk about our future, right? So, I mean, we don't walk around. We walk around with it once it has been refined. The day that we accept Christ into our hearts is the day that God saves us. That's the day that the refining process also starts in our lives. This is the day that we were born again. This is when the refining starts. We must become both saved and surrendered if you want to move forward in the life that God has called you to. I remember one time going to the Edmonton Remand Center and meeting with a convict that had just been arrested. And he shared with me about the day that he was arrested. He said the team came in and told him what he was under arrest for, and they listed off all of the crimes in which they were charging him for. And he shared with me how he looked at the officer, and he simply said, thank you. Thank you. Why? He says, I was thankful because I had been living in the bondage of this crime. He did not know how to get out of it. He was completely entrenched in it, and he did not know what to do. Now, does that mean that the officer looks at him and can see, you know, the tears running down his face as he's saying thankful and saying, okay, you got it, you understand, you know what, I'll let you go? No, that's not how it works. He still had to surrender to the officer. He still had to go through the process of working out this crime. But for us as believers, we come to Christ. We ask Jesus to save us. And with this surrendering, we surrender our lives, or with this saving, we surrender our lives to Christ. And each day, we are working out our salvation. We're knowing what God is calling us to. We're going through that refining process. When we come to Christ, we're saying, I need help. I live in bondage. God, you are the only one that can set me free. So reminiscing is good, but it should not be the world that we live in. And as you gather with your friends and families over the holiday season, it is good to take that time to reminisce. But just like Isaiah led them through a season of reminiscing and reflection, he then also took the time to redirect their thoughts. He challenged them by saying, remember not the former things. He's not writing off the things of the past. The past is the past. Does it mean that it holds no value? It holds no value if you live there today. But as I thought of this, this was the illustration that God kind of planted in my heart. I thought of a financial investment. If you were to invest $100 in a savings account back in 1990, your hope would be that this $100 would gain interest and it would grow. That $100 is not going to look the same today as it did in 1990. It's going to have increased in value. The $100 is worth more today. It may have gone through its series of ups and downs with the various markets, but the investor does not sit and focus and think about that $100 way back then. Where are you today? What is God doing in your life today? Well, he did this back, yes, he did that back then, but look at where you are today. As I reminded you last week, it's always good to have a journal because sometimes we need to be able to go back for a quick reflection and say, oh, yes, God, you are at work in my life today. This is where I was, but this is where I'm at today. That $100 back then is $1,000 today. That piece of mineral that came out of the ground today is a bright, shining piece of gold in your eyes because you continue to work in my life. Maybe around your table, there's a person that needs to be reminded of the prayer that they prayed in the past. Reminding them, when you sit with them, do you remember how you prayed and gave this to God? Then leave it with God. He's working it out. Well, no, I need to bring it up again and I need to pray about this again. Focus on what God is doing in your life today. That need will come to pass, but it will come to pass in God's time. God knows what you need, and he will provide that need. You prayed it. Trust God. Believe that God is working things together for your good. So what does your walk with God look like today? What does your addiction recovery look like today? Isaiah redirected their thoughts and said, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth." Do you perceive it? Can you see it? Where's your thought process, God says? Are you alert? Are you here with me today? I am about to do something brand new in your life. You don't want to miss it. Oh, but God, there's still all... Where are you today? But this person... Where are you today? The past is the past. There's absolutely nothing you can do about all of this behind you. But you can make a choice as to where you are today. You've reminisced. You've redirected your thoughts. Now it's time to make some resolutions. The person who invested the $100, they might say, "I like what happened with that $100. I'm going to make a resolution to take that $1,000, redirect it, and I'm going to believe that in another 30 years, maybe there'll be another zero added to the end of it." Together, so let's do a quick reminisce of some resolutions that we can make. So as I said, we've been walking through this series on seasons. So together, we've learned the importance of being ready for what God is going to do. Are you ready for what God is going to do in you as an individual? Are we ready for what God is going to do in us as a church collectively? And then as we entered into the season of summer, it was important that we give attention to the types of parties that we're going to and the types of parties that we're attending. Who we are associating with will have a great impact on our lives and where we go. I remember a speaker saying when I was at YC back in 1999, she said, "Show me your friends and I will show you your future." How many times do we think about that? Or we even say that to our kids when they're going out and they're making good friends. We'll say, "Make good choices. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." Who is it that you're associating with? Do we as adults take that same advice for ourselves? Who is it that we're associating ourselves with? Who is it that we're gathering together with? Are we gathering with those people that continue to keep us in the past? I remember when I was going for counseling a few years ago. After about the fifth session or something with the counselor, I finally said to him, I said, "Can we come up with a plan?" He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Because I don't want to every week come in and talk about the same thing over and over. Can we come up with a plan that moves Chad forward?" And I don't know if he was facetious or not, but do you know what he said to me? He said, "Why would I want to do that?" He said, "That doesn't keep you coming back to see me. I keep paying him." But what it was, he was keeping me in my past. I wanted to get out of my past. I was going to see the counselor to get healing to move forward. Sometimes the people that we associate with keep us in our past. Maybe the new season is that we prune those friends from our lives, saying, you know what? I can't keep going there. I need to go forward in what God is calling me to do. So I need to prune you off my life because God is doing a new thing, but you have me planted in the same soil that I've been in, and there's been no growth. But God is going to do a new thing, and there's going to be fruit coming. So I need to prune myself in order that God do the work that he wants to do. So as I thought about this, about the associating, I believe that God was helping us to see the type of party that we should be hosting. If you can't find what you're looking for, maybe God is calling you to create it. Do you remember when I said that to you? God has been stirring something in your heart, and you're saying, why don't we have this in the church? It's because God is speaking it to you, and he's wanting you to bring it forth. We wrapped up the fall season by taking time to reflect, to evaluate, to analyze, and then to determine what things do we need to alter in our lives to prepare us for the next season. We looked at the highlights that come with winter, and it's important to determine how we focus our thoughts. We know that God has done great things. We know that God is doing great things, and we know that God will continue to do great things. So as you've walked through the seasons of your own life, what has gotten the most attention? Maybe you got caught up in the good old days and decided, you know what? I'm just going to set my tent right here, and this is where I'm going to live. I'm going back to the days of a rotary phone. Those were the good old days when I had to dial that 9 all the way around and wait for it. But now I can just say, Siri, call mom. Oh, hopefully she doesn't call mom. Has God been helping you to redirect your thoughts and see what he's doing in your life today? He's been preparing you for that new thing that he is about to bring forth. William Carey was known as the father of missions. And he had the following motto. He said, expect great things from God, attempt great things from God. For God. Attempt great things for God. Have you been expecting great things from God? Are you expecting God to do something amazing in your life? Let me ask you this. What attempts have you been making to see this come to pass? I believe that God has been speaking into all of our hearts about the changes and the transitions that he is calling us to make. We've just walked through an entire series on seasons. And if you've ever noticed, the year ends with celebrating Christmas. Families come together, they gather around a table, they gather in the living room, and they talk. They reminisce. And then 7 days later, we make our resolutions. We go from reminiscing to resolutions. What resolution are you sensing that God has been asking you to make? Through this series, I believe that I've been a little bit open about myself. I've been vulnerable with you about the things that God has brought me through, and God knows my heart. But the only way that I've been able to arrive at this place is by coming to God and asking him to break the chains. I don't live in the past. The past is the past. I've even had people come to me and they've said, well, what was it that you went through? What is it that you did? I don't live there. I may do a quick reflection and say, what I do know is that God redeemed me, that God saved me, God watched over me, God was protecting me. I don't need to go and dig down in that ground and bring up all of those sins. That's buried, that's dead. I don't go into the cemetery. I look at what God has done, and then I redirect their thoughts to what God is doing today. And as a result, Kyle and I believe that with everything that we've gone through, that God is calling us to a ministry of grace, healing, forgiveness, and restoration in the lives of people. And I believe that's why he brought us to Comox Valley, because there are people here who need to know God's grace. There are people here that need to understand the healing work that God wants to do, that people need to understand the forgiveness, and that God wants to restore every single one of our lives. So we're not living in the past. We're living in today. There are times when we will allow the chains around us to prevent us from moving forward. But God has broken those chains. And I've asked Kelsey to come, and I want her to lead us in that song again, Break Every Chains. Because the thing is that when you come to Christ, God breaks those chains. He sets you free. And whom the Son sets free is what? They're free indeed. But what tends to happen over life is that we go down and we pick up those chains without even realizing it. And then we wrap them around ourselves and we get all tangled and we come to God and say, God, I thought you had set me free. And he's saying, I did. You have put yourself in bondage. If you would just simply release your hands, you would know that the chains are gone. I did not put you back in bondage. You have been set free. And God wants to free you today. He wants to restore you. He wants to bring healing into your life. So as Kelsey leads us in this song, I don't know what's going on in your life, but God does. And maybe today is the day that you redirect your thoughts and make a resolution with God. And you may want to stand where you are. You may want to lift your hands and surrender yourself to God. You may want to come down here at the front and have somebody pray with you that's going to hold you accountable and say, I need to make this change and I need to publicly speak it out, because where two or three are gathered together, there he is in their midst, and you and another person and God and Holy Spirit and Jesus are right here speaking into your life. So if that's you, I invite you to come and allow God to break you of the chains that are holding you back. I want to pray for that individual right now that's in this place. God's speaking into my heart and he's saying there's somebody here who's holding back because they've come and they've given it to me. And they've given it to me again. And they've given it to me again. And the enemy is there and he's saying, why even bother? Why even bother? You know that you're going to fail again. But remember, God is the one who is speaking it into your heart right now. And God is asking you to surrender it to him. Forget about how many times you've brought it to me. Bring it to me again for the first time. And let me do a healing in your life. And believe and agree and understand that I want to begin a new thing in your life. So for that person that's here right now, as we sing that song again, Break Every Chain, I encourage you, just lift your hands with your hands open, not clenched, not holding on to the chains, but with your hands open and saying, God, I surrender it to you. I'm coming to you like it's the first time. I'm coming back to you and I'm giving it to you and I'm leaving it with you. So break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power in his name. Just lift your hands as an act of surrender. God wants to arrest your soul this morning. Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. It's time to surrender your heart to him. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's declare it this morning. Lord.
There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain. Father, this morning we give you praise, glory, and honor because I thank you for the chains that have been broken off of the lives of people right across this place. I thank you for that place that you have brought them to, that place of resolution, that place of redemption, that place of healing. God, and I thank you for the work that you are doing in their life right now. Today is a brand new day for many people right across this congregation. And I thank you for the work that you are going to do in and through their lives. And I thank you that they are going to take that step of faith and know the thing that you're speaking into their lives. And they're going to take and reach out and take the step of faith and move in the direction that you're calling them to. God, it could be in the direction of finances, of emotional well-being, of physical well-being, of spiritual well-being, whatever direction you are leading them. God, I'm believing for great things for each and every person right across this place this morning. And we will give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week. God bless you. If you want to continue to pray, you're welcome to stay. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.